Welcome to another exciting episode of Who Will Be King. June is hosting today, and we're diving deep into the recent free agent frenzy that has shaken up the NFC North division. We have June and Foster from Bleachers to Speakers, your Detroit Lions podcast, Pay from the Bear Claw podcast for Chicago, and me, Dave, from Vikings First and Skull. We'll be buzzing about the big disappointments and pleasant surprises and how these moves might shape the upcoming draft. I'm offering insights to the Vikings' new direction, particularly their approach to the quarterback position. Pay isn't holding back on his thoughts about the Bears' offseason moves, specifically the controversial Justin Fields deal. He wasn't real happy on how that has gone so far. And June and Foster, our Lions advocates, will chime in on their team's free agency activity to include talk about the Cam Sutton situation, which happened to resolve itself yesterday after we recorded as he was released by the Detroit Lions. From the Vikings' drastic roster changes to the Bears' somewhat controversial moves and the Lions' strategic acquisitions, each team had a unique and eventful offseason to date. We'll evaluate the free agency moves, discuss potential draft strategies, and unpack the biggest surprises and disappointments along the way. So buckle up, NFC North fans. We're about to embark on a roller coaster ride of in-depth analysis, lively discussion, fun banter, and insightful commentary. Let's get started. Who will be king? Let the battles begin.
Welcome to Bleachers and Speakers. I'm your host, June, and I am with my co-host, B. Foster, and our FFSN affiliates from Minnesota Vikings and the Chicago Bears. I'll let them introduce themselves. This is my favorite day of the week. We get to sit down and talk NFC North Division football. Even in the offseason, the shows are just as good as they are during the season. So we'll start off with you, Dave. You can introduce yourself and tell people where they can find you.
Hey, everybody. I'm Dave. I am the producer over at Vikings First and Skull. We do Vikings coverage, obviously. Have been doing it for a while now. Vikings First and Skull has been up just a little over a year. We are growing. We appreciate that. You can find all our podcasts over on the Fans First Sports Network feed, which comes to you via iTunes, Spotify, and whatever RSS feed you've got going for podcasts. And you can find some of our written stuff over at Fans First Sports Network if you type in NFL or click the NFL button and Minnesota. You'll find us there. And we've got a lot of stuff happening in Minneapolis right now over at Egan at the headquarters.
Hey.
How's it going, everybody? I'm Pay at the Bear Claw Podcast, also under the FFSN umbrella. You can find us at, like, same like Dave said, anywhere you get your podcasts, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, YouTube Music, Pandora, Amazon Music, we're everywhere. You can also check us out visually on YouTube at the Frustrated Chicago Sports Fan channel. We're on Facebook as well at the Bear Claw Podcast, at the Bear Claw, at Hallis Hall Podcast, sorry, and on TikTok at Chicago Bear Claw. All good places where you can interact with the show. We post clips, live shows, full shows, everything you can want to get your Bears and NFC North news updates, and just general chit chat. Check us out.
And last but not certainly least, B. Foster.
Foster Child, one half of Bleachers to Speakers. You can find us everywhere at Bleachers to Speakers, YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, all streaming platforms. You got a lot of off-season stuff, draft coverage and free agency, breaking news and all that good stuff. So we've been pretty active as of late.
Gentlemen, how are you guys doing? Last Monday was the pretty much the opening of free agency. Wednesday was the official signing day for free agency. What's going on? What's on your mind there, Dave? How you feel about your team's free agency frenzy that started last week?
Well, we've been busy over in Egan. The Kwesi Adofo-Mensah and his scout team have signed quite a few players already. Now, we did let some go. If you were born yesterday, you heard that Kirk Cousins is now an Atlanta Falcon.
Big deal.
And the Falcons are being investigated by the NFL for tampering.
Ooh.
But over that whole deal. But Kirk Cousins is no longer with the Minnesota Vikings. He signed a four-year, $140 million deal. $140 million, I think it was. 100 of it guaranteed. For the first 2 years, are completely guaranteed. There was no way the Minnesota Vikings were going to match that. So they moved on. To replace him, as of now, we've signed Sam Darnold, the former number three overall pick quarterback. He will be our starter to start the season, most likely. However, Kwesi Adofo-Mensah made a big trade with the Houston Texans. He got their number 23 in the first round and traded our second rounder plus something. Houston made out the deal, but we now have two first rounders to move up in the draft where we fully expect to move within the top five, maybe even within the top three, to grab our quarterback of the future. But we're not the only ones that need a quarterback of the future.
Without further ado, Pay, how do you feel about your team's acquisition so far?
I'm going to be a little pessimistic.
Okay.
I'm glass half full with it. You know, I fully expect these moves, the acquisition of DeAndre Swift, Jonathan Owens, Keenan Allen, and various others, Mr. Bates from Buffalo. I expect the Bears to be a better on-field product going into next season because of these acquisitions. Now, the part about being glass half full. Do I think these acquisitions were the best thing the Bears could have been doing with $80+ million of cap space and a lot of assets to move off of and gain more assets? Absolutely not. In case you haven't heard, the Bears did trade their former first round draft pick quarterback, Justin Fields, and got back what I believe to be a less than heroic return. Let's just say that it's for a 6 week. They traded him for a 6th round draft pick. I vehemently disagree with any propaganda that's been coming out of Hallis Hall about well, this was a good move for the team. Maybe a good room for the locker room. Good move for the team is not debatable, in my opinion. It's you took pennies on the dollar for a talent of Justin's skill set. But outside of that, the Chicago Bears have been very active. Same was with all of our other NFC counterparts. Very active. We improved our wide receiver room. We improved our secondary. Now we just got to keep striking while the iron's hot, hopefully in the draft, and shore up some other holes.
Okay. Okay. Foster, how you feel about the acquisitions? Detroit Lions.
Well, I think that we pretty much covered everything that was of question. Obviously, Jonah Jackson left and we had a big gaping hole at guard, and we were able to come acquire Kevin Zeitler yesterday. So that's brand new news. He went to the Pro Bowl last year. He's been very, very durable and has a very good pass rush win rate. So that move is a very positive one. It wasn't necessarily something that we were, you know, seeking out, but I think we did a good job as far as that's concerned. As far as the cornerback situation, we definitely retooled and, you know, replaced some of the guys that we let go. It's looking like we're going to have to work a little bit harder to fill out that cornerback situation because we got some legal issues with one of our guys. So, you know, I won't get into too much detail about that. But, I'm glad we were able to fill some of the holes. I'm really excited about DJ Reader, though. He's a defensive tackle from the Cincinnati Bengals. Who's had some injury situations, but, you know, he scored very well last year. And I think he was an integral part to the Bengals being as good as they were the last few years up until last year. So overall, I think we did a solid job. We didn't have any, you know, life changing moves, but we covered ourselves in the sense that we can now draft freely with just, you know, what's the best available player, whether it's a receiver, cornerback, edge rusher. We don't have any gaping holes at this point.
Tight end.
Yeah, right.
Oh, we're saving that for the draft. That's how we okay. Do. So let me. I have a couple of things of issues with Detroit, but overall, as a whole. And I'll add to that, I think we did a lot with not breaking the bank. There were some things, some moves that were made that wasn't on the top of my list as far as acquisitions, but they're pretty solid gets. Which leads to my question, and I'll start with you, Dave. Was there any misses? Did you have anybody you had your heart set on to be a Vikings that you feel that you that just didn't happen?
Well, there was Danielle Hunter. Danielle Hunter, I wish we had kept, but instead we traded Danielle He signed with the Houston Texans, which is good for him. Now, if you look at some of the players that we've received or we've signed so far, you would think that you'd be looking at a Facebook post that says the Vikings are in a relationship with the Texans. We signed Blake Cashman, off-ball linebacker who should start, which I have no problem with whatsoever. We signed Jonathan Grenard, gave him a 4-year contract. He's replacing Danielle Hunter at edge. Gave him a nice 4-year contract, which is, I think, going the second one that Kwesi's given out so far. So we expect good things from him. He had 12 and a half sacks last year. He is more of the typical 3-4 outside linebacker than Danielle was. Danielle's a pure pass rushing edge. And though he could play some pass defense and cover somebody in the flat, that's never really been his style. I think Grenard's going to be it. We picked up a couple more players with links to the Texans. Trying to remember their exact names. We had a cornerback that we picked up that played for him but was with Carolina last, Shaquille Griffin, who should be – he'll be fighting for a starting position, should get it, I would think. We also got – Aaron Jones from the Green Bay Packers. Green Bay had pissed Aaron off, told him that last season he needed to take a pay cut, so he took a pay cut. And they probably promised him he wouldn't have that this year. Well, they told him to take another pay cut, and he told him to get bent. And, of course, where do disgruntled Packers players go once they're pissed off at the Packers. They generally go to teams in the NFC North, but yes, there is the Jets. That's on their way to Minnesota, whether it be Brett Favre or the joke is Aaron Rodgers next year. But a lot of them come to Minnesota to play, and we have a long history of taking these guys, and Aaron Jones is going to be one of them. I think he's going to make a heck of a running back for us because he wasn't bad last year.
No.
Yes, he's 29 years old, which is technically over the death age, but he was still producing 5.5 yards per carry. And combine him with one of the young guys we have already, I think we're going to 1-2 punch on the running back side, which we need because we don't have a running game per se. I think it's going to be much improved. So I'm happy with that. As for the other people that were let go, you know, the only two that I really cared about, I cared about Kirk Cousins because I wanted him gone. I think addition by subtraction helps the Minnesota Vikings because he is gone. The 6-year experiment is over. And then, like I said, Danielle Hunter. But we've lost a few and we've gained a bunch. And now we're in the process of signing a bunch of guys that'll be, you know, depth pieces. So I'm sure your teams are in that mode too. We're in the second wave of free agency right now.
Yeah.
Nothing really to shout about. But you guys signing Zeitler yesterday, I was impressed. That was somebody I wanted on my team.
Yeah, a couple of points to add to that. Aaron Jones played very good late in the season as well. So it's no signs of running out of gas. He actually was stronger at the end of the year and had a very productive year. He was looking scary the last few games and in the playoffs. So, and then I think we all four of us here can relate to not picking up a Danielle Hunter. I think that was a miss for all of us. Pay, any disappointments, anybody that you on your wish list that escaped, and keep in mind this is an hour long show. So
evil.
So disappointments. I've got a few.
I know.
I will try to keep it towards guys that we should have drafted or should have signed. I would prefer to be signed.
Hey man, the floor is yours. Go as long as you. I'm just kidding, but go as long as you like.
So yes, you hit on Danielle Hunter. I felt like after all of the targets that I was hoping that will enter free agency, they got the tags and they end up getting some deals. Danielle Hunter should have been the top of the Christmas list, and we let him leave the division, leave the conference altogether, and find his way down to Houston. I didn't know Houston and Minnesota was such a short trip because it seems I don't know how he skipped Chicago and got to Houston. I flabbergasted. Maybe there was some tampering going on, but yeah,
I have no idea. It could have been in. The discussion was because of the relationship. And Houston came to Minnesota to do the big trade to give us their first. There may be a give and take, even though we didn't technically control Danielle at the time.
Trade equity, so to speak. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Ryan Poles needs some. It seems like Ryan Poles has only got trade equity with Pittsburgh at this point. I cannot wait till Pittsburgh starts paying that back after all we've done for them. Other than Danielle Hunter, Christian Wilkerson is another one. And you said something a little bit earlier, June, about Dave, you said something about guys moving from team to team within the division. I don't like how the Packers continually play in our face. We allow them to boss up on us during the season and during the offseason. The gap between our two teams is not that wide. This is the perfect time to try to stop them and then create a new era of which we are the ones running their relationship. We're wearing the pants in the, in, you know, in between this, in this relationship between us two, right? The top safety, as far as like being in his prime or whatever, that was available, Xavier McKinley out of New York, he was available. I felt like that should have been a primary target for the Bears. We just cut a safety, a former Pro Bowler, Eddie Jackson. We had an opening, and we allowed him to go to Green Bay, and then we took Jonathan Owens, who Green Bay let walk out the door. I don't see how that's a plus for us, but it is what it is. We have, even though we had the number two rushing team in the league the last two seasons, we allowed our leading rusher, Justin Fields, we let him go. So we did have a need for another running back. We've had running back issues consistently, as with everyone else does. Running backs get hurt. It's what they do. We signed DeAndre Swift. You all may be familiar with him up there in Detroit. What's the knock on DeAndre Swift? Always hurt, right? So we signed him, and the best running back on the market, Josh Jacobs, ends up in Green Bay. Now, this is my biggest issue with the offseason. We can't keep allowing teams that have already demonstrated they were better than us continually get better. We have to close this gap. And if we're not going to do it by hiring a better coach, you know, or building on certain successes we had last season, you got to do it by bringing in better players. You can't allow the better players that are available to go to the team that continually beats you year in and year out. I just, for the life of me, please give me a win here.
Foster, biggest disappointments for you?
Disappointments.
Wait, hold on. Hold that thought. Yeah. We're going to get to a quick break. I just lost track of time. And then you can tell me. We'll be back in like 15 seconds. To my listeners out there, Spotify world, Apple Podcasts, you'll hear some wonderful ads. Okay, my bad, Foster. So, biggest misses or disappointments that you felt a Lion should have gotten during free
agency? I would have liked for us to have addressed edge rusher a little bit stronger. I feel like if I was to grade out the Marcus Davenport signing, I would mark it as incomplete just because he didn't play most of last year. So we don't have much to go on besides, you know, how he was in New Orleans. I know he was coached under Aaron Glenn and Dan Campbell. So I trust that they brought in somebody that they have some faith in. You know, he only had two sacks last game, but he also only played two games or around two games. So not a bad ratio in the few games that he did play. I was pretty high on the guy the Vikings ended up getting, the greener guy on the Texans, as well as Bryce Hall. I did a player profile on him as one of the guys that I was interested in. One thing that I didn't talk about is that Carlton Davis did restructure his contract to save us $4 million, which I think was a very, you know, just showed, you know, that he's a team guy and, you know, for the betterment of, you know, improving the team. And that may have assisted in us being able to get the Kevin Zeidler guy, because that was kind of, the announcements kind of went hand in hand. But I'm also high on Steph Gilmore. We do need some added veteran presence at the cornerback position. It has, the writing is kind of on the wall with his brother being here as well. And with Cam Sutton possibly not being around for the season coming forward. So that there's still an opportunity for us to make right on that situation. So still might be some moves to make, but I think that we're in a good position going into the draft regardless.
I have to agree with you as far as the Lions not pursuing aggressively or defensive end, but we kind of knew Holmes wasn't going to do so. If we really pay attention to, and really took with a grain of salt what he was saying, like he wasn't going out to the market and spending a bunch of money. He just wasn't, and he didn't. Another thing was, for me, I was disappointed from the time of the franchise tags, because the two corners that I thought could be snagged at free agency, Darius Sneed and Johnson from the Bears, which he wound up signing an extension, and they kept him. I really like that corner for the Bears. I think he's a phenomenal talent, and I hate that he's staying in the division and staying with the Bears. Pay, I have a different stance as far as Danielle Hunter. If the Lions can't have him, getting the hell out the division.
You still in my theory.
Yeah, he doesn't have to. Hey, if the Lions can't have him and the Minnesota's not keeping him, he doesn't need to be in the go to the AFC. Just go. We don't even have to see you in the playoffs.
And he's a class act because he's always worn 99.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes down there, and of course, in Texas history, Watt. Who wore 99?
Was it Watt?
Watt,
yes,
yeah.
He's not getting that jersey.
And he said, "No, I'm not even. Well, not that he's getting the jersey. It's the numbers available." He's like, "No, I'm not taking that. JJ Watt means too much to the city of Houston. I'm not taking that number. And give me 55." So you're going to see him wearing number 55.
Which he probably had that, be different. Probably had that number in high school or something like that. Yeah.
Probably.
That's weird.
And to be honest, he did a lot for the city of Houston as far as the tragedies that happened down there. He was frontlining a lot, along with not just playing football. It was more to it. So that was a very noble move by Daniil. So, yeah, if you could give your team, and I want to go with Pay first, because this is going to be good. If you could give your team a free agent grade, now keep in mind, free agency isn't over. Mm-hmm. You know, there's still people you can still move that can be made. But if you can give your team a current grade of their free agency since last week up until today, how would you grade them? Pay, we'll start with you.
Oh, this is tough. Let me think about this. So, free agency only, right? All right. So, trading away Justin was an F. So, we can start there.
It doesn't have to be just free agency. All the acquisitions so far, you can add those in there if you want. So, like you just did. So. That's fine.
All right. So if I think the best move we made was, I guess, signing, getting the center from LA, from the Rams. I give that a B. And I already said we have an F on our sheet, on our progress report. We got an F. We got a couple of C's. Trading for Keenan Allen, that's a B minus, C plus.
I like Keenan Allen.
Me too.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's old.
Yeah, but you ain't got to sign him. You can like him. You ain't the one that got to sign him. that's the issue there. So I mean, with all these moves that's happened, and you know all the individual grades, I think it averages out to about a C. You know, like an 81, something like that.
Okay, Dave, what's your grade?
Well, we replaced, obviously, some starters. Kirk Cousins is gone. Danielle Hunter's gone. We replaced both of those guys. DJ Wonnum is gone, and you guys didn't pick up on him. We got Andrew Van Ginkel from the Dolphins to replace him, and I think it's going to be a good fit because, of course, he played for Flores and knows that system, so we're going to get a little bit better there. We got rid of... Madison, our running back, he's now with the Raiders, and we got Aaron Jones. That's an improvement. So Sam Darnold at minimum is going to be our backup quarterback. I like that. And I like the fact that he can run the game for us until whoever we draft is ready to come in. And it's going to be interesting. I would give us, I'm not super, you know, fantastic. I'm not going, it's a, hey, we got an A. No, we didn't do that. I would figure it, you know, high C's, B's, somewhere in there is about where we are. And then we've got a handful of, you know, guys that are rotational pieces at best. Jonah Williams from the Rams, defensive lineman type deal. We got another, we signed Jihad Ward, edge from the Giants today, and Camus Grugier Hill from the Panthers, another inside linebacker. You know, these are guys that, okay, they're going to be fighting for depth, and we needed depth. So that's okay. That's a C. You getting depth guys for depth, you know, spots, competition, I'm cool with that. Where we're probably hurting a little bit is offensive line. We still need a left guard. I would love to improve at center. And I do believe Pay did there, but we did not. Now, we did get Mr. Freeney from the Bears, which should be interesting. He will be competing on that offensive line, both a guard and he can play center if he has to. So it's interesting. And he's an interesting cat, still wearing a mullet. He's going to be fun to watch when camp starts and I get to look at the big round bellies pushing against each other again. So. But I give us a, you know, high C, low B, mid B, max.
Okay. GM Foster Holmes, how do you grade your the Lions acquisitions?
I got us at around a B minus. I'm pretty high on the DJ Reader and Zeitler acquisitions. Obviously, Zeitler's a little bit older, so he's more of kind of a stopgap guy while we figure out, you know, who else, you know, we can draft in the later rounds or whatever. The Davenport one kind of brings down the overall. I like the fact that, I mean, Carlton Davis and Amik Robertson are guys that are coming off iffy years and they come in there with something to prove. But I think you can definitely boost up the grade a little bit with the restructuring of the Carlton Davis deal and the fact that they're short-term deals. These aren't deals that can possibly burn us years and years down the line. You know, it's just more of a fill in the holes, improve, and make another heavy push while leaving some leeway for St. Brown, Goff, Sewell, some of the long-term guys to be able to get their money. And of course, this doesn't have to do with free agency, but we extended Brad Holmes and Dan Campbell as well. So things are looking pretty good for the long-term and the short-term for us. I said B minus though, just to
round it up. Go ahead, Pay. I'm sorry.
I'm so happy you all extended Man Campbell. So happy.
Okay. I don't know how I feel about that. But
I thought it was a good move too.
Yeah, I like it because one, he's entertaining. I was before you all had the season you had last year, I was like, man, I hope they let it just breathe a little bit, extend them out. Let him finish his contract because I want to see the vision. I want to see everything come to fruition. And luckily, you all hit right in time. He's good for TV. I love it.
Piggybacking off what Foster said, I personally am somewhere in the ballpark of the same grade, but mine is at a C+. Mm-hmm. And it got and I will say it got to a C+ with DJ Reader and Zeitler. Now it wasn't at a Z. Yeah, it was below that. And the reason being is this guy Holmes, the signing of the injured people, he does not discriminate. He will, if you're hurt, if you can be on life support.
Oh,
he will sign you if he feels like there's a chance you can play. Carlton Davis, he was a little banged up last year.
Yeah.
That didn't affect
This is football, though. These guys are gonna have.
It was a lot of healthy corners out there that you know you could have went after. Davenport, you know what I'm saying? Those were your first acquisitions. So in my mind, this is where my mind is. It's like, okay. You know, you still have to draft at those positions because
got to draft somewhere.
So C plus, you know, but hey, it's trending up because of the last two acquisitions. So
I played around with the C plus area, but I like the.
You're not far off from what I'm.
No, saying. Not at all. Not at all.
My reasoning might be different, but yeah, it's.
If Davenport can stay healthy for you guys, you've got a heck of a edge rusher there. He's good. It's just the health issue with him.
Yeah. I mean, we know we don't play with the ifs. we'll see. The jury's still out on that. We'll see. Another thing is, question I have for you, and we'll start again with Pay. We know that the free agency has an influence on who you're going to draft. Now, we already know who the Bears are going to draft first.
Do we know?
Okay. Well, this makes it even a better question. The acquisitions that happened since last week, has that determined or give you a feeling of how you're going to draft and what you're going to draft on April 25th?
I think it's more so, well, it should be a foregone conclusion of who the Bears are taking at one. Now, it's because Ryan Poles has been a little, he's been a question mark, you know, right? You don't know what he's got going on. He's cooking in silence. So I just want to put that out there. We don't know Caleb Williams is going to be the number one guy taken. He might still trade down and draft J.J. McCarthy for all I know, which would be a very interesting live show.
Yes. We're going to fire up the cameras if something like that happens that day.
But at number nine.
Taking Drake May.
Oh, yeah, because Chicago loves North Carolina quarterbacks with the number 10.
Trubisky.
That's definitely got a great track record in Chicago. But at number nine, I think if the mocks hold out to be true and the scouts at Hallis Hall agree, we might be taking an edge, which would make me very happy. We might be getting either Verse or the other young gentleman. And I'll be happy with that. That will push my offseason grade higher tremendously.
Dave, how's your draft going since the, in your mind, your thoughts? How's the draft going since the acquisition? What direction are you going the first round?
Since the Texans traded their first round pick to us.
Yeah, you got a
lot. That gives us two in the first round.
A lot of stuff to move up.
To get that quarterback. I would be shocked if we don't. And the only reason that we wouldn't is if not finding a trade partner. Because I think we can move top five, preferably top three. And it depends whether the Patriots at three will accept it. I do believe Arizona is going to take young Harrison as a wide receiver. And then it'd be the Chargers at right after that, if we can move up into that spot. There is links between our management and Jim Harbaugh, of now head coach of the Chargers. Whether we get that, I don't know. And it's which quarterbacks. From all I'm gathering, the Vikings are favoring two quarterbacks in particular, number one being Drake May and number two being J.J. McCarthy, I think is what they have their sights on. I think they'd take any of the top four, but I think those two are the ones that they're targeting. And obviously, if we have to move up to five with the Chargers, it would be for J.J. McCarthy, because Drake May will probably be gone. Unless, who knows, Chicago picks J.J. McCarthy and we move up to pick Caleb Williams. I have no idea how it's going to work, but I suspect we're going for Drake May or J.J. McCarthy, and that we are indeed moving up. We have fans that want to stay pat, build the defense, fill the holes, do all that other sort of stuff, but you can't bet on next year's quarterback draft class being as deep as this one.
No.
And each draft class is a crapshoot, right? We've seen, what was it, 2021? That out of all those guys drafted in the first round, not a single one is starting anymore, right? So we're going to find out, but the Vikings need their quarterback of the future. Now, whether he sits for a year or not, which I think is actually Green Bay sort of proved that, and our Packers representative would be touting that. That's, I think we're okay with Sam Darnold as our bridge quarterback. So, and who knows? He may turn a leaf and develop into a very good quarterback, sort of like Baker Mayfield. I don't know. We're fine. We're going for the quarterback. We're trading up and going for the quarterback. That's what this free agency period has told me.
Boss, we're going to take a quick break, and I'm going to ask you the same question. We'll be back in a quick second. Welcome back. And Foster, the question was, with the acquisition, does this change in your mind on or direct in your mind how the Lions will draft on draft day?
I feel like it's a 50-50 between edge rushing and cornerback as of right now. I would have leaned more so towards the edge rusher at this point, but with the Cam Sutton situation, I feel like there's still a possibility that we just go out there and get the best available cornerback. I would love to see us move up just a little bit to get a little bit closer to and get the best available amongst the, you know, the top 20-ish. But I think the dark horse is going out and getting the best available wide receiver. That's available at 29 because obviously we have Amon-Ra St. Brown. We got Jameson Williams, who we hope to be the outside receiver of the future. But we still haven't decided what we're going to do with Josh Reynolds at this point. And it would be nice. There's a couple of, taller receivers out there that have the ability to stretch the field, like a Brian Thomas, a Keon Coleman, what's the other guy? The guy from South Carolina named Leggett. I think he's kind of in that late first, early second. But they're bigger guys, and we don't really possess that outside of a Josh Reynolds who may or may not be around. So I think that there's a possibility. There's a possibility that we go in that direction. But I saw some film I showed June yesterday of Latu, and he is looking very, very athletic. And putting him on the outside on the other. And I think he can play some outside linebacker too. But I would love to, the injury thing is scary.
And, yeah.
He looked, I was impressed by what I saw.
Yeah. A couple things to add to that. The Cam Sutton situation, that could change a couple of things. And for those that don't know, there's some legal issues. Apparently, he's wanted for impersonating a number one cover corner. Just kidding. No. I don't know what the charges are, but there's apparently something's going on. I guess later on we'll figure. I mean, it'll
come out.
It'll be some light shed on the situation. As far as that, I still think the two needs that we needed to address are still things we could very well draft for. So I still think you could, if you have that corner there at 29 that you want, take him. If you have that rush in there, you take that. because of what you have through the acquisitions. Now, I'll tell you something. Kool-Aid ran a 4.47 yesterday in a workout with a fracture, a small break in his foot or something he had.
Jones fracture.
Yeah. If he's there at 29. He's
falling in his foot right there.
Yeah. If he's there at 29, you have to take him. I mean, that was the only thing, a question about Kool-Aid was how fast was he? He's plenty fast enough. So I still think there's a part of me that says the Lions could draft elsewhere and get a rush person with the second round pick. Let's say, for instance, there's a phenomenal wide receiver at 29. You know, do you pass that up and you get a rush in right after that? Because there still will be a couple on the board available. It could be even a couple corners on the board available in the second round. That's pretty good. So I don't know. It just depends on this Cam Sutton situation is a thing, and it's something you have to definitely consider. Because if something goes wrong there, you need another corner. So,
I think we got a better chance of finding a serviceable corner in the second than edge rusher. I feel like by the time they get to the close to the third round, because that's kind of because it's our second round pick, right? Or is it somebody else?
What do you mean?
Well, because when you trade for somebody else, it's probably not going to be at the end of the second.
I think I think the Lions had two second round picks.
But we traded one to Tampa Bay.
Yeah. I think that was yeah. If it's not the beginning of the second round where the
store seed, yeah. So
yeah. So my thing is with that, there's a edge rusher that'll be available in the second round that I think they could go with. And he's from Western Michigan. Name is Nealon. So he would be available in the second round, and he's a first round talent. I just think the rush in situation is kind of deep for the first round. Person I won't be. It's not even a thought. Like the guy from Dallas.
Oh, Turner. Yeah. No.
Dallas Turner. He ran a 4.45. Man, he's not going to be there. Just off athleticism alone, he's not going to be there. Chop's not going to be there. Foster, I guarantee you.
There.
You know what's going to happen? I'm going to tell you what's going to happen before it's going to happen, Dave.
Buffalo will take him right ahead.
He'll be there at 26 or 27. Somebody will take him right before 29.
Yeah, 29 is just a weird place to be.
Yeah. hold on. Bears are the...
Oh, that's the first part?
Yeah.
And then they might make the playoffs next year.
You know, they weren't too far this past year. I mean, a couple bad breaks. They started off too slow. Just a bad first half of football, but they played pretty strongly afterwards.
We abstained from wins all of September.
Yeah.
You and Green Bay. Green Bay wasn't that good at the beginning.
They caught fire, though.
The abstinence in November.
They caught fire. I'm going to ask you something, and that's it's only because we don't have a Green Bay representative. I want you to think in your mind of a player you don't want to see go to Green Bay, because we all here can say we don't like the Packers. They can't defend themselves, which is pretty good. But name a player in this draft you do not want to see go to Green Bay.
They pick Foster, 25.
You can lead it off, Foster.
Probably Latu.
That's what I was
thinking. Amongst the realistic, because I don't know where they pick, but they pick somewhere in the middle, right?
25.
I was thinking Chop or Latu, but go ahead, though.
Chop or Latu. That sounds like something.
I said Chop or Latu.
I know. This together, it sounds like something crazy.
Those would be the players I would hate to see go there. Dave, you have anybody that you don't want to see in the Green Bay Packers?
Both the fine gentlemen that you just mentioned, and we've done profiles on them as well, are very good edge rushers. And no, I don't want to see those edge rushers in Green Bay. But what Green Bay needs is a left tackle. And I don't want to see one of those very, very good left tackles that are out there, because it's a good draft for tackles to go to Green Bay. I want them to get a schlub that can't play.
One of the deep threat receivers, I don't want to see that either, because they
do not need a good receiver, bro. They do not. I don't want to see a good receiver go to Green Bay. No.
Yeah. They can draft a kicker in the first round.
Yeah, they go punter. I think they should go punter.
Long snapper. How about a long snapper?
Hey. They did lose Bakhtiari. Just recently, he's been a fantastic building block for them for the last, decade. They do have to replace him, but I'm of the opinion that they actually have his replacement already on the roster. They're going to make some moves. They're going to move some people around and figure that out. I think they're drafting in the late round. I mean, back end of the draft, right?
Yeah, 25th.
So back that way, I mean, they're not going to get anybody that's going to really be devastating, like Brock Bowers or anybody, or Neighbors, something like that. So because if somebody fell and they ended up getting one of those, I might have a brain aneurysm. something dastardly happened like that. And it's happened before. It's not outside of the realm of possibility. They had a quarterback fall right in their laps that should not have been available to them, and you all know who I'm talking about. He might be your next vice president. But in that realm of the draft, I think I would hate to see them get the best wide receiver on the board. I'm not sure who would be available. Maybe the guy from Florida, Pearsall, I think that I'm saying his name right, or another defensive back, another like high-end defensive back, maybe. What's his name? Cooper DeJean. I think he played.
I've seen on a lot of draft boards, mock draft boards, mm-hmm. of the Packers taking Cooper DeJean.
You know, that's a Packers pick right there. You know it.
I've seen it on multiple draft boards, mock draft boards of them picking him up.
It's been a while since that type of player has been in the league. And it would be a match made in heaven if he ended up in Green Bay. He's a good player. Iowa put some dogs in the league, so I would not like to see the next Iowa stand out to be in Green Bay.
Okay.
He might go to Detroit. Keep the theme going.
Towards the back end of the draft.
He's projected it at the tail end of this first round. You got LaPorta there. You got Campbell there. I mean, maybe that's just doing too much, but hey, dude's in that. He's athletic, man. Dude played like
Foster.
He's lettered in four different sports in high school.
Foster, let's please the power of the tongue, man. Don't put this kind of. No, he can't come to Detroit, bro. No, it's not what we need.
Corner, he's a cornerback.
He's not an outside corner. We need a man-to-man cover corner.
Good slot is valuable.
He's a very good nickelback
is very valuable in this mm-hmm. league.
Yeah. Very good in the slot, but what we need is an outside cover corner.
I'm looking over at Packers Wire, and their latest mock draft roundup has them taking Latu for one.
I told you.
Edge rusher, obviously. Safety, Tyler Newbin from Minnesota, the Gopher.
Okay.
We have offensive tackle Amarius Mims. There's the tackle I'm talking about, and I think he'd be good. Offensive lineman Graham Borton out of Duke. Offensive tackle Tyler Guyton out of Oklahoma, a Sooner. Mm-hmm. So, see, there's three offensive linemen in a row. Cornerback Kool-Aid McKinstry.
Oh, there you go.
defensive back / corner, Cooper DeJean. And yeah, that's
take
it.
Him. Take him. Take him. All righty. Well, that about wraps up today's show. You can catch me and Foster here on Motor City Metrics. You can also check us out at Bleachers and Speakers on YouTube. Subscribe to that channel. You can also check us out on every streaming podcast platform. All you have to do is type in Bleachers and Speakers, FFSN, at Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, all the podcast streaming platforms. And we're actually doing a show either tomorrow. Foster, you think we're doing a show tomorrow?
Tomorrow's Thursday, yeah.
We're either doing a show tomorrow or there'll be some player profiles. You'll be able to check us out. We'll give everybody a heads up. Hey, when's your next show? Where can we find you?
Our next show is actually going to be recorded tonight, and you should see it on your feed sometime tomorrow. It's usually for the draft time. It'll pop up on your feed. Again, everywhere you get your podcasts, that's Apple, YouTube, Spotify, Google, wherever. We're everywhere. You can either catch the audio version, the full audio version, possible on YouTube sometimes. Our RSS is connected there. So wherever it doesn't take much effort to get this content. We got it available for you at every corner of the internet.
Dave.
Our next show is here in about 1 hour. We're going on with the Real 4-0 show over on Vikings First and Skoll, and we are talking about the quarterback tax. We all know that we have a variety of trade charts out there, but when it comes to trading up for a quarterback, throw the numbers out because it gets a lot more expensive. And the more people you have wanting to trade up into a position, the more expensive it gets. Vikings are trying to get ahead of the Giants in particular. So it's going to be interesting, and we're going to talk about that, Tyler and I, tonight here in just a little bit over an hour on Vikings First and Skoll YouTube page. And of course, you can find this, all the podcasts, over, like Pay said, on any of your RSS feed providers, iTunes, Spotify, etc. We're all there, and our written side is over at Fans First Sports Network's webpage under NFL Minnesota.
I am definitely tuning into the show in about an hour. I'm doing some scouting.
Dave, did you say quarterbacks are expensive? Is that
they
what I
can be? They can be to trade up. Now, to be traded out, when you don't want them, they tend to go for cheap.
That doesn't
and you get ripped off. And that sixth rounder you get can turn into a fourth rounder if Russell Wilson is washed like I say he is.
That's a whole nother conversation.
Yep. Depends on playing time.
Quarterbacks are expensive.
Unless you're a Steeler.
unless you're Pittsburgh.
Ask Atlanta fans.
That about does it for tonight, man. I appreciate you guys, man. I'll see you guys next week.
Thank you for listening to this NFC North group effort on the Fans First Sports Network. This has been a Bear Claw podcast. Bleachers to Speakers, Vikings First and Skoll, and of course, the Fans First Sports Network production. Thank you for listening.